because Jesus has said, let the tares alone, leave it alone. So now, to all the churches, we have the wheat and tares going together. All these centuries, how do you tell the real from the fake? It's hard, isn't it? Huh? Right? But, by the time as time go on, there were people be able to tell. Some were able, some were not, some were able. Some think that, well, they, those who are terrified, that they are wheat. Well, you know. Now, in the beginning, before tares were sown, you have pure wheat. Right? You have pure wheat. Now, pure wheat, we can say, if they are pure, they must be like virgin. Pure wheat is virgin, huh? Pure wheat, clean, pure. So now we take and put as a criteria. But we're looking at this pure wheat from the very beginning. The church started on the day of Pentecost. Am I not right? The oil came down on the day of Pentecost. And that's after Christ died. And then, in about 22, 23 years, we find that, of course, by the time we have tares being sown. Because when the church started off, they all had only one revelation. Not so today. We have churches, we have Christians with all kinds of revelation. Right now. So now, at the end time here, we have a people that is called virgin. Now, it says some were wise, some were foolish. Don't worry about the wise and the foolish at this present time. Just concentrate on the word virgin. Virgin means people who are pure, who must have received oil to begin with. Right? I mean, the Bible did not use the word wheat. But if you were to use wheat, then you would have to use pollinated wheat and non-pollinated wheat, so to speak. But it doesn't carry good sense. Because when you say pollinated wheat, are those that can germinate and bear fruit. Non-pollinated cannot. Is that right? You don't know that, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, an animal, a female animal who has not been with a male animal, certainly cannot conceive seed. That's obvious. You know? So now, when we look at the word virgin here then, who are the virgin? Are these virgins? They are a people that must have come out, who have heard, who have been awakened to some revelation to keep themselves clean. They must have a time where it started. In 1903, 1906. That is when we have the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me try to put you to a comparison here. Throughout all those six church ages, before, of course, when the first church age starts, before it really starts, the church in the beginning, the early church in the beginning, they were pure. The Holy Ghost came down near Pentecost. They had oil. Now, if they have the oil in the beginning, and the Holy Ghost came down, they spoke in tongues, they had signs and wonders, and whatever revelation they have, it must be something that became a standard. So, if anybody said that they have the oil, must compare the same to this oil. You understand what I'm saying now? So that is to say, the church must pattern after the first church age, or the early church. Okay? Because when they started out, they were pure meat. They were not tares. They have only one revelation. They have only one oil that they received direct on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came, right? Okay, they have one there. So now, all along this church six church ages or the ages that came after, there are people that experienced it, no doubt. But the Bible never said that they were virgin at that time. Bible never likened them to virgin. Because they were sporadically sprung up from in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in America, people who have spoken in tongues, may experience the Holy Ghost, had revelation, but there are probably one or two here, three there, and then nobody cares about it. Do you understand? So the majority, of course, they were all either weak or they're dead, and that's it. Never used as a virgin. None of them is considered a virgin to fulfill a parable. So this parable we see then is at this end time. So now, when did it begin? Well, we all know that in America, in Europe, just prior to the 20th century, prior to 1900, there were a lot of dissatisfied Christian people. You know, they've been seeking for a deeper walk with the Lord. So, and then only in the 20th century, beginning to 1903, there were some Methodist, Baptist, Christian people who just come together for prayer. Because denomination was, they were quite a hindrance, you know. People are sometimes very traditional or very dogmatic. I'm a Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, Lutheran, this and that. Okay. So there were these few that they were hungering for the truth. So they came together and prayed. So this happened in Europe also. So after some time when they were really seeking the Lord began to do the work now. And began to pour forth the Holy Spirit upon them. And they began to speak in tongues and began to, prophesy. And immediately when they had that, you know what happened? They had a revelation. That revelation was the one true God and the redemptive name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't forget that these people, they are born again. I mean, you're not born again, you want to keep the law for truth, right? What for one more truth, right? Is that right? They were born again. They were born again people, and because of their thirst for more of God, as you say, more of the Spirit of God. So they prayed, and then when the Lord poured the Holy Spirit upon them, they were struck by revelation that there is but one true God, and His name one. And that name is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know, if you go to the book of Acts, okay, let's go to the book of Acts now, just for reference. Now, you know on the day of Pentecost chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down, and Peter began to preach, is that right? And you can see from, of course, verse 24, 25 downwards, and Peter began to preach. Hey, what was he talking about? He was talking about God, he was talking about the prophets of old, what David has said, the prophets about who is to come and so forth, right? Huh? Isn't it? In verse 35, what David talks about, and what the prophet talks about in verse 30, and so forth, you know, and then, of course, they were the people that believed in one God. They don't believe in the Trinity. Is that right? So now when they heard Peter preach, they know what Peter was talking about here. Well, he was talking about the Lord, and how did the Bible prophesy about this Messiah that's coming there, not other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no other name given under heaven so far. Peter speaks all what the prophet said. Summarize it, okay? And then now when the people say, oh no, they were convicted of sin, they say, what must we do to be saved? To be saved? And Peter said, verse 38, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now, this people in this 20th century, 1903, when the Lord God began to pour forth that Spirit now, and start speaking in tongues, like now, they were not saying that they spoke in tongues because they received the Holy Ghost. It's not that. Huh? These people were Christians, they are born again already. But here they get an outpouring upon them. So much so their eyes were open and they realized that there is no more than one God. There's only one God. And the baptism should be in the name of Jesus because there's only one redemptive name. Because Peter said in chapter 2 and I think verse 34, where he quoted David as saying, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy fall thy footstool. And therefore let all the house of Israel know, surely the God and make the same Jesus Christ, whom you have crucified for Lord and Christ." There is only one God, and his redemptive name is Lord Jesus Christ. Now do you see what they have received? Huh? So now if you look at this oil that they are outpouring upon them. Okay? Now, do you believe that the disciples were saved before Pentecost? Do you believe they were saved before Pentecost? They were. Jesus said, "You see, the Holy Spirit, he breathed upon them, didn't they?" Huh? The Pentecost was an outpouring. Do you understand that we enjoy the power from on high? And he said, "The Holy Spirit, when he's come upon you, shall guide you and lead you unto all truth. And you shall be my witnesses." What was the Holy Ghost given for? To lead and guide you all truth. Not to say, "Oh, I hear something speaking in tongues." What do you hear me speaking in tongues, Brother Clement? Anybody want to hear me speak? Want to hear me speak in tongues? I speak to you. And then you show it off. But that's not what the Holy Ghost is given for you. You know, the Holy Ghost don't give you a tongue so that you can go and, you know, and show the other body. And try to do that to a non-Christian. He says, "You're mad." Huh? "You're mad." You see. So the Holy Ghost was given to open your eyes to see. To see what? To see only one person. The Lord Jesus Christ. That person whom God has sent to give you eternal life. Who will give you a redemption. To provide you redemption. To redeem you. So now if we look at the oil then, what the first church, what the church, when it first began, when it began, you see they have, what they have. Now in 1903, when it first started, people all did the same. So they all went to the water baptism, all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they, "Oh, wow, they got only one revelation of Godhead," and for the first 3 years, that's how intense it was. But the denominations, watching them, said, "Oh, there's a holy roller, look, they're all on the floor." Why don't I tell you something? When he first started in 1903 to 1906, people were really sweet, they were really to be slain by the Holy Spirit. Because people like use words from some Old Testament. I think the word slain by the Holy Spirit is just a word they use, which of course means to say that they woo, they fell down. You know what I mean? So now those things, those times they were genuine. You know what I mean? They were genuine. But today, you see when the charismatic, they sort of fall on the floor. You have seen that? You ever seen that? Have you ever been to a charismatic church? You know, and the people in the church, you're going to fall down. And then you have ushers standing behind a woman and a man trying to catch them and the preacher come around. Catch them, you know, put down on the ground. And then they go on the floor and they start to say, it's being done, they start to come, start to quiver and all these things. Now all of these are not real. Charismatic church is not the true bride of Jesus Christ. If any man who is charismatic, hear what I say, they will say, "I'm a devil." Let me tell you something. Charismaticism is a tool in the hands of the devil that unite all these other churches together and bring them back to Rome. That's why you see charismatic Catholic. They dance with the Orthodox Greek in a big stadium. The Baptist Methodist, they dance and speak in tongues, and they dance and speak in tongues, those are the prophets of each other. They had a great time. In Toronto, they call it the phenomenon of the laughter. And go, everybody's laughing. The Holy Spirit, everybody laughs. Woo! And next time, perhaps, they say, the Holy Spirit made everybody cry. So the whole city all cry. To me, it's hysteria.
That's what it is.
You know that, don't you? When the Holy Ghost is, the Holy Ghost move upon a congregation of people, not everybody cry, not everybody laugh, not everybody shake, not everybody fell down. You know what I mean? Everybody experienced differently. But to say everybody fall down, or everybody cry, everybody laugh together simultaneously, it's hysterical. You ever experience a woman get hysterical and in the room, and every woman all starts to behave the same. So we got to see what is real and what is the fake. 1903, 1906 produced the real stuff. People really experienced that power. People were, they were not looking for some sensation. But now you see the charismatic church. If I'm a charismatic, if I take you to a charismatic, you're new. Okay, I converted you. I take you to my church, which is a charismatic church. And after a while, you see what people do. Automatically, you will be doing that. Yes or no? Huh? Sure. It's very automatic because people are brainwashed into it. Now I say this many times, your experience with God is not to be copied. Because you don't copy it on me, you don't copy it from somebody else. You behave this way, I behave the same. Huh? You know what I'm saying? A mimic. There are people who like to preach and follow the style of another preacher. You do it this way, you don't do it this way. You know what I'm saying? Just like somebody called this what they call holy dancers. Huh? I see some of the posters in the newspaper, the first time in this John Travolta or whatever, this Midnight Mass Saturday Fever. He's going this way and that way. Do you know what I mean? And then you see kids doing the same. Everybody doing the same. You know? And then now, of course, you want to say it's very, what you call, people are eating influence. You know, the Negro people, they like to say, what's up, dog? What's up, dog? And then people start to copy and say, what's up, dog? What's up, dog? You know? And then you see them, what lao? Everybody, what lao? And they realize, you know, some of these things, I mean, either you are influenced for good or you are influenced for bad. Is that all right? Yes. But I went to church last Friday, I got out into the bath, the pastor's late and talked to them, the driver sitting in front. You know, some of these pastors, they have seats facing each other, which is quite a big space. And just behind me, of course, I was behind the driver, the first seat, and behind me just was this big space on the left. After I was talking to the driver, then I hear a voice very loud, a young man's voice speaking very loud. Oh, wow, no, wow, wow. And then I turned around, he's only about 15 or 16 years old, putting his leg onto the other seat and talk like, wow, I was thinking, I feel like getting up and saying, hey, that's some courtesy. You know, I look at him, he just ignored me, you know, talk on the phone like, you know, very loudly. You know, you just see how people behave. I think they watch too much PCK. You know how he act? Put his leg on the table or chair and everything and speak very loud. You know how people talk sometimes in a coffee shop? And that's the way some Negro do, or the black old they do in America. And the Nigerian people, you know the brothers there, they speak very loud, but they don't act like PCK. Put our receipt here and there in all these strange postures. But you are saying that human beings are using influence. So either we are influence for good, influence for bad. And I tell you one thing, brothers and sisters, you are in this church, in this fellowship, not by chance. And you're going to examine yourself, we are here because I'm born to my father and mother who comes to this fellowship. And you're going to examine yourself, where you stand in God? Because we are living in a time where this parable of the family must be fulfilled. And either you are wise or you are foolish. You're either one of them. Or you are not in this, then you are not a believer at all to begin with. You're not here just because I like this fellowship. You understand? We are here because, look, I have something here in this fellowship. You think, okay, God has given us something here. There is something that I can get, something that will strengthen me for this journey. Because, you know, we are on the last leg home. You know what Brother Branham said about the gospel? You know, I said it many times. The gospel the Jew rejected is started from Israel. The first plane he took, well, the first flight he takes was to Europe, westward. Is that right? To the Gentiles. Because the Jew don't want it. Europe had its revival. What happened? They shut it down into a system. So the Holy Spirit said goodbye to you and took a ship, went westward. Where did he go? To America. America had its revival for almost 200 years, 100 plus years, so to speak. And God says it's finished now. America's done. Look at his immoral, look at his arrogance, his pride. America doesn't realize, I don't believe that. See how? The marriage of them, they have that spirit. That's one thing that is in the world, in America, in a natural way, in the amount of people who are not born again. Of course, America say, I'm born again, I'm born again. Every Republican here say, I'm born again. Oh, President Clinton, President Bush, everyone thinks that they are born again. All the presidents need to be born again, President. And if it happens in the church, what happens? It's terrible. You get preacher or get passed and out of the people in the same time message. And one of them says, oh, it's true. I'm true with America. Way back in the 60s, huh? I no longer pray for them. And what do you think the Holy Spirit go? Huh? For the last journey. Alright? Where do you go? It could be Asia. Asia. And that's the reason why you can see, if you know the letters are received, the churches that I have seen and visited, what God has been doing in their life, how these churches are able to go have their eyes open because of the simplicity of the ministration of the Word. Philippines, India, many parts of Africa. All because of a simple truth of hearing the ministration of the Word of God. And breaking down the Word of God that they can see. Now, other Asia, why didn't you go? Because Asia is the last. Let's go back. To Israel, where it started. That's right. Where it started. So what do we have now? We have 1903 to 1903 to 1906. We have the great 3 years where this oil was poured out upon the people. Now, back in 03 and 06, Brother Branham came preaching, was born in 06, and he came preaching. Later on at age of 19 years old, he started preaching. 30-something, 1930-something, 1940-something, he was out in the evangelistic field, preaching. There was no message yet given, remember? Now, my brother began to preach the message, it was in the year 19, began really to preach the message in 1956. Now we take 1906, 1956, it's 50 years. Huh? What 50 years? 50 years is the number of jubilee. Jubilee means that tree. 1956 is when the year when Brother Abraham began to cry out. Come out! You understand? Now, think for a moment right now. We are living in 2003. You take 1956, give it 50 years, you end up in 2006 then. Would the message that Brother Branham cried out before 50 years, before he shut down, before everything is finished, I mean, just think about it. I mean, I'm just saying, you think about it. 50. There are 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish virgins, huh? I mean, 1 doesn't mean is 1. It represents 100 or 1,000. So they all virgins wake up at different times, as we know, as the story goes. We're not through with it yet, huh? Okay, we have plenty of time to deal with this whole subject. I started to do the whole thing after, all over again. You know what happens? If we take 5 as a number of grace, 5 has always been a beautiful number, it's a number of grace. 5 wounds of Jesus Christ, is it right? 2 in the head, in the feet, and 1 on the side. 50 is a jubilee. 5 times 9. Huh? Is that right? So if we are 50 years, what do you think? From when the Holy Ghost was poured out, in the first 3 years, until the boys began to really cry out. Of course, you can say that Brother M's message in 53 onward, already you can see how he's talking about the system. But he began to preach harder as he goes on. You understand? So if it was 50 years, even those who have the oil, you know how they develop into a system. That they slapped. The virgin slapped. And that's why the message came out. When the message came forth, will we be given another 50 years? Interesting how to look at it. Okay. Now, so we have something to look at now. We have what the oil really is. Now, in the beginning of 1903, 1906, that's when the Holy Ghost was poured out, that after that time onward, this message of coming, come and get oil, come and get oil begins. Pentecost, outpouring, we call Pentecost outpouring, that's why you get it, Pentecostal church. People begin to, who have this experience, begin to propagate this truth. Huh? Come and seek the Holy Spirit, come and get oil, come get all baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you know what the problem is, that when it's emphasized, they use the term baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it slowly became developed into another form where they believed to say that, well, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost unless you speak in tongues. You understand? But this is not the thing we are looking at. The thing that we're looking at is that when they really have the Holy Ghost outpouring in their lives, they would have to see one revelation. The revelation of the one true God and His redemptive name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Because that is the revelation that were lost. In the churches. Is that right? In the church age. Church ages. They don't see nothing. They see God. Huh? You remember in the parables? The third parables. When the master seed grew out into a big tree. When that early church began to put forth branches and grow big. Spread out from Israel. To Ephesus, that is the minus Asia Minor. Across to Rome, huh? To Alexandria. So, it became very big, but you know, you get all these birds around that. You know, bishops, they make themselves bishops, and you have, then they say, okay, now we have an archbishop, and then this church in Alexandria have a different problem, and there's some other revelation of their own, and in Constantinople, and perhaps in Leo this year and all these times. So they all have certain belief. Huh? And they start to perch on this tree. Now when you have too many birds on this tree, what happens to this tree? You get bird droppings all over. You're going to kill the tree. And you get birds after birds, and you know the branch gets sliced down. By the way, they are burdened to the church. And that's, you know, why you have a problem. That time there are certain ones that believe that God is three. And then you came along a man by the name of Arius. A-R-I-U-S. Arius. Now he believed that God is one. But his interpretation of, he's trying to define God, he couldn't define the oneness properly. Huh? Until there was so much problem between the other churches who believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, and finally, Emperor Constantine says, this confusion, this debating and fighting among the churches is no good. And he called for a council. So in the council, argue and debate, back and forth. Arius couldn't, lost. have the body. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is the true doctrine of the Godhead. There is the Father, there is the Son, there is the Holy Spirit. And they began to define the doctrine of the Holy, of the Trinity. First it was okay, you know. We believe in one God, the Father, who had it, and we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Living God, and we believe in the communion of the Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. Things like that, they have all that written down. And so, when that came, what happened? He went to a church age. So now, the revelation of the one true God was lost because of these birds that come in. And then you have in the false church age, you have this, and the woman, the characters was in such a high power, such so powerful, that she began to leaven the lamb, or the leavening the measure of meals that were given to us, until all the truth were lost. But that is okay, all these things is okay, because God let it be. Only the weak can maintain their life, but the pairs are fakers. Let me tell you one thing, a lot of these churches out there, many of them are just pairs. Believe me. The biggest of pair are the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church. They substitute for the truth, the Word of God in all sorts of things. And now you know one thing about it, because of the SARS, no holy water. The holy water is no longer holy, the SARS is more powerful than the holy water. You know what it is? Do you know what holy water symbolizes? You can take the holy water and throw it at the vampire. You know what? You know that, don't you? And the vampire couldn't stand the holy water. They were smoked out. Yes. The crucifix. You know the crucifix, the bigger the crucifix, the greater the power. You know all this hocus pocus doctrine, you know, on the movie they show because of the Catholic Church. If the Holy Water has such power, every Catholic Church go to the Catholic Church, you know, they go and touch the Holy Water and then they will do the sign of the cross. Is that right? On the news media I was watching, you know, we talk about the sign, here there was the cameraman showing the Catholic Church, here came a man who was a Catholic, went to there and looked, and there's no water. He was wondering when he went in. Don't believe in all that stuff. The rosary has no power. If I wish that I could, I don't know where to contact that man now, but if you watch that movie that was made of the true life deliverance of a prostitute who was demon possessed. And the title of the movie is Bitten by Devil. When Lester Sumner, the preacher, I think he probably did now, when he approached that girl, you know, I think that she had a cross and a rose in his hand. You know, the rose stood up. You see. The power of the devil can make it stand. Wow, the cross is power, but it's the devil who created it. You see. Some people think that the cross is power. Why do people wear crosses on their chest, on necklace? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I wear one. But where did it begin? Where did it start off from? It started from the characters. They take the cross and then they kiss it. Then they show it to everybody. You know that, don't you? You know how the Catholic priest and the Pope, they raise up the cross? If you go and see the mass, you go flipping, they raise up the cross, everybody will bow down to a piece of wood. You see how it has become? The cars are everywhere. And the churches today, wow, look at that, how true that is, when they start to build their church building, and the church building, oh, they look very nice, man. Church building, very nice. Oh, the stained glass window up here, and the door here, and the window here, and then up here is a big, long thing. Well, sometimes on top of it, they put a cross. In some country, they even have this cross so high up, they lit it so bright, so even the airplane can see it. Yeah, the particle seed. Yes. This is an obelisk. the signs of Nimrod's horn. Why did the church need to put up a steeple like that? You ever see children with their back steeple? Huh? And that's why when Pentecost or outpouring happened in 1903 and 1906, the churches, the Pentecostal churches don't build a church like that anymore. You know how they try to build a church? Simple. Four walls. Just like that. People have begin to have a revelation of all this silly nonsense. Yes, that's what it is. You see? You will take a cross as a symbol, that's fine. But don't reveal the cross. You understand? People give so much reverence to a cross. But the song says in the cross of Christ, I glory, is not that cross. It's that cross in Calvary. The real thing, not a piece of wood that you, or a piece of gold that you hang around your neck. And that's what happened throughout the whole church age when the tents start growing and when you have the woman that came out to leaven the whole thing, the revelation of the Godhead completely was destroyed. In its place to the three-headed God, or a three-person God. And in its place of water baptism, instead of him or the Lord Jesus Christ, what we have? The title of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is the revelation now? What is the redemptive name of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. There God has given under heaven and earth, there is no other name whereby a man could be saved except by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be saved, you confess to that name, you take the name of Jesus Christ in water baptism because you died to sin and you became part of him. Huh? The Bible says Jesus Christ so loved the church that he gave his life for it. And the church is a spouse to Christ as his wife, as his bride. So as a woman who marries a man, the woman takes the man's name, isn't it? Not the name of Father, Holy Ghost, which is a title. Huh? I don't know what Brother Paul has, what the degree of what people he had, MBBS, MD, PhD, or PhD, well, you know, you're not Mr. You're not Mr. PH, you know what I mean? You understand what I'm talking about? A theologian comes up with a PhD, he's not Mr. PH. It's just a title. But he has a name. Alright, so we know that so much now. Let me just close that and we'll continue next week. Because we don't have much time left here now. Amen? So we'll continue next week and get more detail into this now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your wonderful name, Lord. Your grace be upon us, Father, once again, in the word that we have received of you. Let our heart, Father, rejoice in the thing that you have shown us. Father, may our heart fully be open up, Father, to receive your word. And keep in our heart to be nothing against you in this hour that we live in. How much more, Lord, it is that we be mindful of your love towards us. And the reality of the precious blood that was shed at Calvary that sanctifies and cleanses us, Lord, from our sin. And we thank you for the Spirit of the living Christ that God poured forth upon us to lead us and guide us into all truth and show us things to come, Father. And the life of Christ Jesus be upon our heart that redeem our soul and our spirit because you have given him as a propitiation for our sin, Lord. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We bless the holy name. We ask for grace now in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.